For WAMC News, I'm Jim Lavoulis. The University at Albany is launching the nation's first Center for Advanced Red Teaming. It will be housed in the school's College of Emergency Preparedness, Homeland Security, and Cybersecurity. I sat down with the center's director, Gary Ackerman, and deputy director, Brandon Behlendorf, to discuss the effort. Ackerman started by describing what red teaming is.
The term red teaming is used by different people in a variety of different ways. There are a variety of different activities which are referred to as red teaming. Part of what we want to do with our new center is to actually try and standardize a little bit or bring some coherence to the concept. But basically, red teaming involves simulating an adversary's behavior or decision making in order to improve our own defenses against that adversary. But it can involve a number of activities. These activities can range from tabletop simulations and scenarios to actual cyber penetration testing, to physical field penetration testing, to a computational modeling of human behavior. All of this could fall under the broad rubric of red teaming.
So the Center for Advanced Red Teaming, or CART, what specifically will it focus on?
The primary focus of CART is to advance red teaming by focusing on the science of red teaming, i.e., in this context, how do we understand whether the way we conduct red teaming, the way that companies, the public sector, the private sector are engaging and thinking like an adversary might influence ultimately the results we get when we do these exercises? And how can we improve the reliability and the validity of those exercises so that we can best prepare to protect and secure our defenses? A second aspect of the center is to focus on the standardization of red teaming. One of the things that you see in this field is that red teaming has any number of connotations, and what people mean by red teaming and the way they conduct red teaming can vary from boardroom to boardroom, from cubicle to cubicle. We want to standardize that and build standards so that the community can best improve their practices. And last, there's a lot of opportunities for moving red teaming forward, whether it's in the defense community and the security communities, whether it's in the cybersecurity community, whether it's in the private sector, in integrating it with other technologies and opportunities, things like augmented and virtual reality, things like artificial intelligence. All of these are capabilities that, coupled with a process to think like an adversary, can help improve our ability to defend against a wide array of threats and vulnerabilities.
And what sort of entities or organizations could most stand to benefit from the center's work?
So one of the things that we strongly feel is that red teaming has been applied quite narrowly in the past. It's been generally conducted in the military, a little bit by cybersecurity community, but we think it has much broader applications. We think that everything from companies facing competitors in an international marketplace to legal cases where they might want to get a better insight into the adversaries in a particular trial, even a broader array of agencies and individuals who have to plan for crises. There are a lot of emerging threats and emerging risks at the moment, from technology in the socio-political arena, and we really have to apply all the tools that we have at our disposal. And we think that red teaming needs to be applied more broadly. But at the same time, as Brandon has pointed out, we want to make sure that it's done as rigorously and in a way that's scientifically defensible.
What about schools? Schools are increasingly looking at security, whether both physical and cyber. Could a local school district or a local college like UAlbany, how would they go about thinking about red teaming?
Well, schools are already doing this in the context of conducting active shooter drills and exercises in order to test their systems and prepare for the potential threat of an active shooter. And so the question that emerges is, how are they conducting those particular exercises? And are they thinking of ways in which they might be vulnerable that doesn't represent what has happened in the past. We've seen whether it's terrorism, a school shooting, whether it's a cyber threat, we've seen an evolution in how the adversary thinks. And what we want to focus on in the center is moving the science forward to better prepare for the what might be next rather than building practices reflected on what has already happened. And that's one of the reasons why we focus on red teaming. Another aspect for schools and for a variety of other communities is there are situations where, as an empirical scientist myself, I don't want to have lots of data on. And what I mean by that is we don't want to wait until a terrorist organization were to acquire a weapon of mass destruction or a nuclear weapon and use it for us to understand the threat of nuclear terrorism, how they might acquire that capability. We don't want to wait for a mass shooting to happen in a particular school district before we think about how might that happen in that context. I want red teaming can be used in those particular environments where the available data is either sparse or, as a society, we don't want to have instances where that available data is large and comprehensive. We want to think about situations we never have to actually encounter, and red teaming allows an opportunity for us to engage in that practice.
It's very much an ability to proactively test your defenses and investigate the threats and risks in a manner that doesn't actually wait for an actual threat to materialize. So we think it's very useful in that respect, especially with threats that are very different from those of the past, emerging threats. I would like to add another thing that one of the most crucial elements in red teaming, because it's a simulation of adversary behavior, you're having non-adversaries trying to emulate or simulate how an adversary thinks about things. And that is very difficult. And one of the biggest problems in red teaming in the past is that it's been accused of, well, you're having a counterterrorism officer or you're having a university student pretend to be a bad guy. And you know, how do we know that that is anything like what a bad guy would actually do? Because that person is not a bad guy. That person is just pretending to be a bad guy. And so there's been a lot of thought about how do you get non-adversaries, good guys, to reliably, in a sense, take on the role of bad guys, temporarily, of course, and in a simulated environment, but to do that so that actually informs us so we can make useful decisions from that. And so one of the things that, in addition to sort of the quote-unquote science improvement that we hope to do, we also want to improve the art. And the art is very much of how to train people and remove some of the biases that they have, their cultural biases, their institutional biases, and help people to put themselves, our red teamers, to put themselves in the position of adversaries so that their decisions and thinking can emulate a real adversary and be useful to us. So that's a core part of what CART is going to be doing. It's going to be working on how do we reliably train and teach people how to be good red teamers.
In thinking about it from the aspect of preparing for something that has never happened before, does that thinking lend itself almost more to the cybersecurity world in that technology, computer technology is vastly changing, where more in the physical sense, in terms of how an individual might pose a security threat, how physical weapons might pose a security threat, the technology is a little bit less fast moving. Does red teaming lend itself a little bit more to cybersecurity?
I'd say red teaming works in both areas and for two different reasons. One, the evolution of technology and the how fast it's emerging is something where you can use red teaming to get ahead of that curve as new technologies come on board, whether it's new cyber capabilities, whether it's DIY bio, whether it's 3D printing, whatever that new technology that emerges. As that comes in, it offers a new opportunity for how that technology might be utilized in a way that is creates a threat to whether it's security, safety of individuals or a group of individuals. And so there we can get advanced, we can get ahead of the technology curve to better anticipate how might this be utilized, whether it's a physical technology or even a social media technology. How might Facebook be weaponized and used in disinformation campaigns in this context? That's one avenue. But a second avenue that I would say is that it can help in those areas where we have existing technology, physical technology locations, but we might not have had something ever happen there, right? So in that context, we've never had an attack using a particular type of weapon in a hospital or in a piece of critical infrastructure. We can then use red teaming to say, how might that occur? And then use the science of red teaming to say, how can we be sure, how can we improve our confidence in that result when we're anticipating or thinking about ways in which these attacks might be carried out? And how can we remove some of those potential biases and experiences that we bring to the table to better emulate with the adversary, better identify with the adversary as we're planning these potential attacks?
Red teaming has a number of actual functions and types of red teaming. So on the one hand, what we've mainly been speaking about is what would generally be called vulnerability probes or gap exploration. So using red teaming to either test to see whether our defenses are good enough against a particular attack, and that's often what cyber penetration testing actually does. But it's also to identify new vulnerabilities. So to see how creative individuals emulating an adversary can highlight vulnerabilities that we didn't even know about. But it can also be used to train people. It's also a training tool, an educational tool, because it's one of the because it's so engrossing and you're emulating an adversary to make any type of students at any level more aware and learn more about a particular risk context. It's a very useful way that can actually do it through red teaming. And another use of red teaming is just to create awareness. Sometimes the red teaming scenarios themselves, because they're very visceral, they're very realistic, it actually can raise awareness of particular risks and threats that are very difficult to raise otherwise. So red teaming can have multiple different goals, any particular red teaming exercise, which is one of the reasons why we think it's such a useful technique that needs to be developed further.
How come a center like this hasn't been set up before?
There have been, red teaming is quite an old practice. Some of the books take back to the so-called devil's advocate in the Vatican, who pretended they were, you know, when they were trying to evaluate the canonization of a saint, they would have a devil's advocate to play the opposite role of an adversary. So it goes back a long way. It has its roots in military wargaming, which happened in the middle of the 19th century. However, it's slightly different. Red teaming by itself is focused on trying to think and act like the adversary, which is different from other types of scenarios and simulations. Red teaming has sort of grown organically and used by different parties, mainly in the military, over a number of years. And there was no sort of general clearinghouse for information because it was a military function. And a lot of the red teaming still occurs in the military context. It wasn't one of those things where people published a lot of research on red teaming or spoke a lot about how it was done. It was generally one of those kind of almost like a trade, like an apprenticeship. You learned how to do red teaming from the person who came before you. This was very useful in the limited context of the military. But when you want to sort of put it on a sound scientific footing and you want to apply it to new areas, you really need to take a holistic approach to the field. And we think that red teaming is being used in multiple different contexts in increasingly a wide variety of institutions and agencies and companies. But we also think this is a good time to sort of create a nexus, a entity that can help coordinate this, standardize, improve the science, but also disseminate information so that practitioners can learn what is the best way, for instance, in training red teamers, or who are the best red teamers to use for a particular purpose. These are kinds of things that it really hasn't been done before because it's been very practitioner-led, which has led to a lot of improvements, but they've been very ad hoc, and they've also been usually lacked an empirical basis, a scientific basis. So we want to improve the field overall without dictating to different parties how they should do red teaming, to provide resources to improve red teaming across the various domains in which it's currently used, but also to encourage people to use red teaming and provide best practices in areas where it has not traditionally been used.
So will the establishment of the center lead to new academic majors or academic programs at UAlbany?
We see the center as integrating with already established efforts that the university and the College of Emergency Preparedness, Homeland Security, and Cybersecurity are already underway with. We see incorporating red teaming not only in our classwork on Homeland Security or on emergency preparedness, but also integrating it with coursework and research efforts with other colleges as well at the university, whether that's thinking about red teaming in the context of weapons of mass destruction with our partners at Rockefeller College, whether that's thinking about red teaming in a context of a potential biohazard that might involve school public health. There's a number of ways in which red teaming as a method of thinking, as a tool, as an approach, can be interwoven with programs not only at UAlbany, but we envision this to be with other universities and academic efforts around the country and around the world. We see a growing community of individuals engaged in red teaming, and now is a ripe time for that community to mature a science around that and bring in the insights from a wide array of disciplines that have, with various theories and practices and methodologies, to improve that science of red teaming. And that's where we see ourselves as both a convener and as a big table type of center to bring people in this context and work with them.
And as the first center of its kind, as the first effort of its kind in the red teaming domain, we also feel that we need to, it would be very useful in developing resources that can be used not only by ourselves and our college and the University at Albany, but also across multiple universities and multiple institutions. And those will include guidance on how to include red teaming in different curricula and in different syllabi in academic programs, also how to train in red teaming. At the same time, we want to develop gold standard courses in red teaming itself. So we plan sometime in the future as we develop to for instance, potentially offer a graduate certificate in red teaming that's part of our Homeland Security or Emergency Preparedness or Cybersecurity master's degrees. It will be sort of a concentration in red teaming or a certificate in red teaming where we would actually train individuals that could get accreditation so that they could then go out into the workplace, whether it's for a government agency or for a private company, and actually have a credential that says, they have been trained to the highest standards in how to both design and implement red teaming.